particular topic, and so we want to study that together this morning.
However, in the dictionary, one of the definitions of concern
about the third or fourth definition down the list is worry or anxiety. Negative and concerned thoughts about something. Worry, anxiety. And so concern can quickly and easily turn into worry. Now in the King James Version of the Bible, neither the word worry nor the word concern are used in throughout the scriptures, and they're not used in the context that we use those words today. The scripture that was read this morning, however, Matthew 26, 25 and following, Jesus there on the Sermon on the Mount says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or nor about your body. Now this is the New King James, it uses the word worry. The King James says, take no thought. Now that doesn't mean that you don't get up in the morning and think about getting dressed and wander out into the street without getting clothes. That's not what he means when he says, take no thought. He means, don't worry. And so some of the more modern translations have actually translated that way. It means, don't be overly concerned about these things. Don't allow those things to consume you. Don't become obsessed with thinking about all of those things. In particular, he said, he's talking about what's going to happen in the future in this particular case. He says, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? For that matter, which of you by worrying can add one millimeter, one centimeter, one inch, one anything, one hair's breadth? You can't worry about your height till you get taller. It doesn't work. And he goes on to say, so why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, we quote verse 33 all the time. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we usually are trying to point out to people that they need to be trying to do what God wants them to do and read the Bible and study the Bible to find out what. But notice what context Jesus puts that verse in. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about your physical life. Don't worry about that. It is a very little value when compared with eternity. So if we're going to show some concern about something, the thing that we should be showing concern about is our eternity. And even that, we certainly shouldn't have to be worried about. Way of introduction, first of all, a little poem by Elizabeth Cheney. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and hurry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. You know, you don't ever see animals running around worrying. You never see dogs with their nails chewed down all the way. You never see the concern of pacing back and forth so worried about what's going to happen. You never see them concerned about those things. Now, I know they don't really have faith in God or any understanding of God. But they do have a Heavenly Father that cares for them. They're His creation. And He provides everything that they need. And when the time comes, that their life ends, that's the end of their life. But Jesus says, we're of much more value than a sparrow or some other animal. God cares about us in a way that He never cares about those animals. We have a soul that's going to live with Him in eternity if we do what He wants us to do. The story is told of a widow who had raised a very large family, 18 in all. She had actually adopted 12 of them, and six were her own. And she had maintained it very easily, with confidence and stability. And an interviewer asked her the question of her secret. What was her secret to her outstanding accomplishment? And her answer was surprising. She said, I managed so well because I'm in a partnership. He said, what do you mean by that? She said, well, many years ago, I said, Lord, I'll do the work, and you do the worry. And I had an anxious care. We could all profit from following that example. Worry is nothing more than having mental pictures of what we don't want to happen. Worry is our imagination, basically. When we were children, our imagination took the form of imaginary friends and playmates. You know, we imagined that a box was a rocket ship that could take us to the moon. But as we get older, when we become adults, our imagination starts to imagine much darker things, much more difficult things, much sadder things. We start to imagine all of the ways something could go wrong. We start to picture what could happen if. And we know that it happened to somebody once. And so because of that, almost anything that we can imagine has happened to somebody sometimes in the history of the world. And so we start imagining it's going to happen. And what's worse, we start imagining that everything that's ever happened to anybody in the world is all going to happen to me. And so we start worrying. And we start doing everything except what's going to help to take care of any problem. There's an old prayer, I guess they call it the serenity prayer. It says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. See, often the things that we worry about are things that we can't change anyway. We worry, maybe especially after the terrorist attacks in New York City, everybody, all of us was worried. Well, now, law enforcement, the FBI, and all of those groups, they began to work. There was something they could do to try to prevent that from happening. For the rest of us, there wasn't a whole lot we could do about it. And what was the value then, what was gained by everybody worrying about it? Worrying about what's going to happen next. Is there going to be another? Is something going to happen to me? And for weeks, every accident, every incident that occurred where people were either injured or died, the newscaster now asked about, is that terrorist? They never asked that question. But they were so worried and so consumed by this thought of terrorism that suddenly every car wreck, every train wreck, every accident, every plane that crashed, everything bad that happened, it must be that maybe it's the terrorist in the media. Hurry. Constantly about it. And looking at people beginning to be suspicious of their neighbors and watching to see if their neighbors worry. But there are only two things that you shouldn't worry about. And worry about everything else, but don't worry about these two things. The things that you can change and the things that you can't change. Now, anything that doesn't fall in one of those two groups, you can worry about. But unfortunately, everything will be in one of those two groups. If it's something you can change, do something about it. I've had people, somebody maybe who's overweight and worried about their health because they're overweight. Well, do something about it. Quit worrying and do something. On the other hand, somebody who has been diagnosed with a particular ailment and there's nothing that can be done about it, why don't worry about it? A friend told us this morning in class, I said, I didn't know, and several others indicated they didn't know that she had one of her eyes, she can't see out of her, didn't know that. But that's something she can't change. That eye's been that way since she was born. She said, she can't change that. Don't worry about it. If you can't change it, don't worry about it. If you can change it, and it's worth changing, now, you know, it doesn't mean to change everything that can be changed in the world. Some things aren't worth changing, they're fine the way they are. But if it's something that can be changed, and and it needs to be changed, make the effort and change it. We often do show concern and care for other people. That's part of our compassion. If we're not concerned about other people or even about ourselves to a limited degree, that shows that we don't have compassion. That we don't care about others if we don't show some level of concern. But when we become so overwhelmed with being concerned about everybody and everything that could possibly happen to everybody, we can't live our lives. And we become useless. We have to draw the line and realize that there are things to be concerned about, to care about, and when we have those cares, take them to God. That's why we have our prayer request list every time we get together. If there's something that's of concern, if it's of a great enough concern, tell God about it and let Him handle it. And if it's not of enough concern to bother God with it, don't bother about it. Don't worry about it. If it's important, then God needs to know about it. Well, not that He doesn't already know, but you need to put it before Him and let Him handle it. Because if it's that important, you probably can't handle it yourself anyway. If it's something that's of so little importance that He doesn't need to know about it, just take care of the problem yourself. Or don't worry about it. What are the causes of worry? There are several causes. Some of them, though, fit into these three categories. Pride and the lack of faith, 1 Peter 5, 6-7. Peter says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I think the difference between us casting our cares on God and us casting our cares on somebody else or keeping them on ourselves is God can do something about it. There's nothing that comes up that He can't do something about. Now that doesn't mean that He always will. Sometimes He knows that whatever pain or whatever trouble we're going through is something that's going to help us in the long run. It's going to make us stronger, that's going to make us better, that's going to make us perhaps be able later on to help someone else who goes through something similar. And because of that, He allows some of those things to happen to us so that we can reach out to others and so that we can be stronger. But we need to cast our care on Him. He does care for us, and He can lift us up out of those troubles whenever He realizes the need is there, whenever He knows the time is right. The second thing that causes worry many times is a focus on the past. Philippians 3:13. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal. I forget about those things. That doesn't mean He doesn't learn from the mistakes of the past. Doesn't mean that He doesn't remember what had happened. He did, because Paul on several occasions actually wrote about some of the things that he had done in the past. But what he means by forgetting is he doesn't bring it up and let it affect today. He doesn't let it affect the way he lives today. So many times we do that. Maybe we had some failure at something in the past. And so, perhaps it's something, maybe we studied with somebody and failed to convert them. And so we see an opportunity to study with somebody. But we worry. We're worried because the last time, they didn't respond. They didn't listen. They didn't obey the truth. So we worry about, because of what happened in the past. But what's more, we're worried about what happened in the past with a different person. Each person is a different individual. Each situation is a different situation. What happened in the past with somebody else doesn't dictate what's going to happen in the future. A lot of times people do that in their relationships. I know a lot of people who, because of they have been hurt in love, so they've been in love with somebody, and they crushed them, hurt them real bad, cheated on them, whatever it might have been. Because of that, they have so much trouble ever loving somebody else. They think that next person is going to be just like that because they're focused on the past. They're living in the past, worrying, thinking about all that that's gone on before. Imagine if Paul had done that. They saw persecuted Christians, put them to death, stood there when Stephen was stoned, and took responsibility for that action. to the toast of the people who were stoning. He was so involved in the persecution of the church. The Bible says he made havoc of the church. Did he focus on that, think about that the rest of his life? Well, if he had, he had probably, like we talked about this morning, the prison, he probably crawled in the room somewhere and shut the door and never come out again. Forget about those things that he had done. He knew he'd made mistakes. He's not a chief of sinners. But I'm going to forget about those things that are in the past. And I'm going to reach forward, press toward the goal that's ahead of me. And then the third thing that causes worry many times, though, is focus on the future. Matthew 6:34, Jesus says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own day. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We don't even know if there's going to be a tomorrow. And yet, so many of us waste hours out of every day worrying about the one that we don't even know if it's going to come. And wind up wasting the one that we have. We waste it either because we're thinking about the past, or we're thinking about tomorrow, and we don't ever live today. It doesn't mean that we don't make plans. It doesn't mean that we're not prepared. God made plans for the future. Even before the foundation of the world, he already had the plan in place for Christ to come and to be crucified and to atone for everyone's sin. He had that in place already. He planned for the future. But you think he sat around worrying about it? For the 4,000 years before Christ came, you think he sat around chewing on his fingernails worrying about what was going to happen when Jesus had to come to earth? Can you imagine that picture? Imagine? You try to imagine God sitting up there worrying about the future. And we say, well, that's because he knows what's going to happen in the future. Yeah, that's true, he does, but listen, what about, maybe he should worry about the past. Maybe God should be concerned. Maybe I made a mistake in letting Adam and Eve have that tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden. Maybe I should sit there. Well, what if God sat there and worried about that? Imagine. Well, we're his children. We're supposed to act like he would have us to act. We're supposed to be like God. And yet, that's the very kind of thing that we do. We worry about past and future. And never today. Never the thing that we can actually change. I can worry all day today that Don might have a car wreck tomorrow going to school. And I've wasted the whole day. And if she did, if she had a car wreck and died in that car wreck, I wasted my last day with her worrying about what was going to happen the next day. I'm foolish, man. And that's exactly what a lot of people do. They waste the precious moments that they have each and every day worrying about tomorrow. And they can't change it. They can't do anything about it today. Now, when tomorrow gets here, then, when it's called today, you can start doing something about it. Well, what's the point of worrying about it now? You can't do anything about it until it gets here. The phraseology that Jesus uses when he says, take no thought, in King James, that same phrase. The word thought, there are only two times in the New Testament where the word thought, where it's translated thought, where it's of any positive meaning whatsoever. Almost every time that phrase is used, or a similar phrase to that is used, it refers to humans thinking about things that's not a good thing for them to be thinking about, something that's not going to help, something that's not of any use. Paul talks about it when he says, describing his former way of life, when he says, well, I thought that I should do many things contrary to the Lord, to Jesus. And he thought that. Right, see, it was me. He was thinking something that was wrong. That's the problem. Human reasoning many times causes us to think about the wrong thing. Because we put place importance upon things that other people around us place importance upon. As I mentioned in class this morning, the physical appearance. In our society, physical appearance has become more important than just about anything else. All the fashion models and the actors and actresses and everything, it's all about how beautiful are you. Every day, and you can't be even, if you're 1 pound overweight, that's a horrible, horrible thing. If you're 1 pound underweight, that's If one ear's a little bit higher than the other, well, you need to go have plastic surgery. If certain parts of your body aren't just the right size or shape, you need to go have plastic surgery to get that. Everything is about how you look. The fact of the matter is, how we look doesn't matter to God. He never said only the really attractive people are going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Never said that. Never said anything about that. His concern is with the spirit that's within. And unfortunately, so many of us, our spirit is hampered by our own condemnation of our physical appearance. We think of ourselves as unattractive because of what Hollywood and the fashion magazines have said attractive is. No, that's different than what it used to be. You go back to the 1400s, 1500s, the skinny models weren't attractive then. So what's attractive to people changes. In every culture, what's attractive is different from one culture to the next. One culture finds one thing attractive, another a different thing. That's just something that people decide. God doesn't make those decisions. He doesn't care. Because He knows that all of us were created in His image and we're all beautiful because of that. I read an interesting article in Time Magazine this past week. They're talking about the new televisions, the high-definition television, digital, high-definition television, and all this. And they said, it's a great concern to Hollywood. Because now, all of these people that we've seen all these years, and we thought they were perfect and beautiful and everything, with high-definition television, it says that the makeup artists are having to work overtime to cover up all the blemishes and to make those people look as attractive as they have to look to be on television. And what that tells me, those people are just people. They're not perfect. And when the camera, with this new high definition, gets up close on them, it shows their imperfections, just like it would show off. But see, for years, Hollywood has covered all that up with makeup, and they messed with the pictures, and covered things up in the films to make it appear as though these people are perfect. And we've fallen for it. And we believe that that's what's important in life, is how we look. But we're all beautiful to God. He created us. And He is glad that each and every one of us looks the way that we look. And certainly, if our physical, something about us physically is causing a health problem, we need to do what we can to correct that if it's possible. But still, worry is not the answer. But what are the results of worry? Worry brings depression. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But a good word makes you glad. We talk about depression this morning in class. A lot of the depression that people face is because of their worry. They're worried about things that are never going to happen. Proverbs also talks about the man that says, oh, behold, there's a lion out in the street. I can't go out the door because there's a lion out in the street. They worry. They locked up in his room because he's worried there might be a lion out there. Well, so what if there was? All those other people are going up and down the street. The lion hadn't eaten any of them yet. But so what if the lion gets you? If you're right with God, you're okay. Lions have eaten people in the past. In the first century, the lion ate many Christians. And many of those Christians went boldly into that arena where those lions were. They didn't worry about it. They knew they were right with God. But worry, anxiety brings depression. Now that's not the only thing that brings depression, but that's one of the things that can cause depression. Worry keeps us unfruitful. Matthew 13:22 says, now he who receives seeds among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. That's exactly what happens. Because if you're worrying, you're not doing anything. But if you're busy doing something, you don't have time to worry. How do you want to spend your time? Fretting, worrying, chewing your fingernails? Or actually out there accomplishing some good in the world? And then third, we see that worry is physically unhealthy. It's physically harmful. It will hurt you to worry. Not only your state of mind and your spiritual attitude, your depression, not only that, but it will make you sick. Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. And then in verse 15 it says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. They found, as they studied, that many of the illnesses that our society faces are not faced by primitive cultures in the world. They don't have the worries that we have. They don't have high blood pressure. They don't have ulcers. They don't have those things because they don't worry. They don't have all the cares and concerns of how am I going to make the car payment this month, and what's going to happen if I lose my job, and what if I get cancer like so-and-so, and they don't worry. They just live one day to the next. And because of that, they don't have any ulcers. They don't have high blood pressure and all of the things that go along with worry. It is harmful to us. Well, what is the cure for worry? As with anything, it's easier to say it than it is to do it. But here's what the answer is. First of all, prayer. Prayer dispels anxiety. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice that. Be anxious for nothing. Well, how then are we going to keep from being anxious? He says, in everything, by prayer, make your request known to God. If there's something that's of concern to you, give it to God before it becomes a worry. Don't be anxious about it. Let Him take care of it. And then, of course, there's God's comfort. Psalm 94, verse 19. He says, in the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comfort delight my soul. We're going to have difficult times. We're going to have troubles. There are going to be bad things that happen to us. There are going to be times when we were expecting somebody and they're running late and we don't know what happened and why they're late. And we're going to be concerned. How are we going to handle that? Start pacing up and down the floor, pulling our hair out, chewing our fingernails off, or are we going to allow God's comfort to delight our soul, focused on Him? We need to trust in God. Jeremiah 17:7-8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and his hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when he comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. There again, the idea that anxiousness is going to cause people to cease from yielding fruit. You've got to keep your focus on God. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will, this Isaiah speaking to, of God, says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. We trust in God. God is going to keep us in peace. But someone asked this morning in class if depression was a result of a lack of faith. It can be. If that depression stems from worry, worry is the result of a lack of faith. That lack of faith, that lack of trust in God, we must remember, believe, truly believe, and know God is with us. Psalm 23:4. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Do we really believe God is with us? Or do we just want to believe that God is with us? Sometimes we want to believe, but when it comes right down to it, we don't really believe He's there. And then, of course, we need to believe in God. We don't really believe He's there sometimes. John 14:1-3. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You need to believe in God, you need to believe in Jesus. We need to believe in their power help us. And then claim the peace that Jesus left for us, for you. John 14:27, Jesus tells the apostles, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We can have that same peace that the apostles had. Peace in knowing that Jesus is here for us, that he's on our side. And then one thing that we need to do that will help is to ask God's help in recognizing our anxiety. Ask him to give us the wisdom, as the prayer, the serenity prayer says, to give us the wisdom to know the difference between the things we can change and the things we can't. To be able to recognize our anxiety for what it is. To recognize our worry for what it is. Sometimes we worry and we don't even realize that we're worried. Sometimes we pass on, oh, well, I'm just concerned. Or I just care about these particular people or that particular. And that's why I'm this way. But the fact of the matter is, we're worried. We hear about an earthquake in India or a flood in China. Do we care about those people? Yes, they have souls. For all we know, some of those people that are harming those things, maybe were Christians. We don't know who did this was. But if there's nothing that we can do about it, and we know that there is something that only God can do about it, neither does God. He's the only one that can do it. He can't. And we need to recognize that. Psalm 139:23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxiety. Know my worries, and let me know what those worries are. Let me recognize them for what they are, so that I'll quit worrying. Because sometimes we do. Just slip, you might say, into worry without realizing. Then we need to turn our worry over to God. Once we recognize it, we need to give it to God. Psalm 55:22, 1 Peter 5:6-7, we read already, but Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And then we need to keep focused on the present. Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Quit worrying about yesterday, quit worrying about tomorrow, and rejoice in the day God has made today. The only one we have. The only day that ever there is today. Now let's think for just one moment before we conclude about what Jesus said there in Matthew 6. He said, don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat. Now, he didn't mean by that the concerns that we have and the worries that we have today, where many of us probably either last night or this morning got up and looked at our closet full of clothes and said, boy, I don't have anything to wear. What am I going to put on? You get some new clothes? Jesus had one garment. Yeah, that was it. The clothes on him. He didn't have a closet full of clothes. So when Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to put on, he doesn't mean, don't think about which outfit you're going to wear. What he's saying is, don't worry about whether you're going to have clothes to wear or not. We don't even have that worry. The poorest of us in this country have more clothes than probably Jesus and all of his apostles have their entire lives. And here we are, we're worried about clothes, but what we're worried about is even more foolish. We're worried about whether we get the right brand of clothes, or whether it's the right color, or whether it will match the shoes we've got, or... This is what we worry about. If Jesus was upset at them because they were worried about whether they're going to have clothes to wear, how do you think he'd feel about the things we worry about? The things we worry about are so far down the list. It's unbelievable that we worry about these things. Or what you're going to eat. See, again, he's talking about people that were worried about whether they were going to have anything to eat. Not worried about, well, which restaurant are we going to today? Or what are we going to buy at the grocery store today? Or we got a freezer full of food, which things should we cook tonight? That's not what Jesus was talking about. But those are the things that people nowadays worry about in our country. There are places in the world where people have the concerns that Jesus was talking about. But we don't. Have those worries. But those things. I mean, those are things that are serious to life. Am I going to have food tomorrow? He said, don't worry about it. You notice in his prayer, he prays to the Father, he said, give us our bread for the next month or two. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Even in his prayers, Jesus wasn't praying about tomorrow, he was praying about today. Think about today. Keep focused on the present. In conclusion, then, we realize that a lot of the problems of worry is that our emphasis is on the physical when our emphasis should be on the spiritual. We worry about how we look, we worry about what clothes we wear, what car we drive, what neighborhood we live in, what kind of house we have, or, you know what. Worry about all the wrong things. Start with. And don't give a second thought to where we're going to spend eternity when this life is over. Our emphasis should be on the spiritual. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. We look at our body in the mirror and worry about it all day long. It's temporary, it's going to be gone. We need to be looking deeper at our soul. That soul is going to live on forever. The beautiful thing about focusing on the spiritual and having our emphasis there is that spiritual things can't be taken away from us. Now, we can give them up. We can give up eternal life. We can give up our peace that God gives us. We can give up all of those spiritual blessings that are in Christ. Yeah, we can give them up. But nobody can take them away. Jesus said, my Father is stronger than all, and no one can snatch them from my Father's hand. Luke 10:38-42, Jesus went to visit Mary and Martha. And Mary was sitting listening to Jesus. She was focused on the spiritual thing. Martha was busy fixing a meal. She was worried about the physical thing. And then she came and got up. Jesus said, Jesus, tell her to get up and help me. Jesus' answer in verse 41 is, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Nobody can take those things away. It doesn't matter how many physical possessions you have, somebody can take it away. It doesn't matter how beautiful you are, a car wreck or a fire can take away that beauty in an instant. But if you're beautiful on the inside, if you have a wonderful, kind, loving, sweet spirit, nobody can take that away from you. A car wreck can't do it. A fire can't do it. A bullet can't do it. We need to be focused on spiritual things. Allow God to handle the physical things. That's the beauty of being a child. Xander often will tell us it's time to eat. But you know, he never worried about tomorrow, whether he's going to get something to eat tomorrow. He knows Mom and Daddy's going to take care of him. He knows we're going to put clothes on him in the morning. He knows we're going to give him food to eat.